call the meeting to order. Present, we have myself, Chairman, Kevin Roberts is on his way. Jonathan up here, Kenneth Romp, and Eckert's not here yet either. I got two people not here. There was some reason I thought one of them slowly start. All right, well, I got three.
Four, because the chairwoman's here.
Okay, well, I guess we can start then.
And five, because Legislator Rodriguez is here.
All right, then I'll start. I do, first, I entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? And under old business, I want to take care of something under old business to get it out of the way. We had a resolution that was put in by Legislator Maloney in reference to elected officials and the Board of Elections material, and there was one little problem with it. One of the problems with it was that it didn't talk about anything, and it did not, which meant that you couldn't put ballots on. So I'd entertain a motion to amend it according to the sponsor to have it with the exceptions of being named on a ballot as a candidate for elected office. Do I have any entertainment to take in that? Hello?
I'll make that motion.
All right. Anybody want to second it? All right. On the question?
Do you have to expand it to extend to more than ballot? For example, on the website, if you're looking up your polling place or the candidate, or the posting, say, of an election, it'll say the results of the election with the candidate's names, and that would be, I mean, is there a way to extend it to be broadly associated with any official election material?
We have a couple lawyers here, but anything to do with the ballot that is associated with the ballot or an election.
Yeah.
So that would all encompass it all in one sentence or two. Do you think that's possible?
Also, just to your point, Trace, the sample ballots, it's got the word ballot in it, but I'm not sure the sample ballot would qualify as a ballot, and the Board of Elections hands out sample ballots with every candidate on it.
Yeah, so I think we should just make sure that the language encompasses any official...
Well, it would be, with the exception of being named on a ballot, a sample ballot, election results. Something of that nature.
Are we planning on acting on this tonight?
What's that? Well, I was hoping to get it out of the way, but if we... all right, I'll tell you about... Maybe we can have the attorney take a look at that and make sure we have the... I'll give it to you. You want to hold on?
I have a copy.
All right, yeah. Can you take a look at that just so we were not, throwing baby out with the ballot?
Yeah. Now, there was a clause, if I may, one of the final resolves, which appeared to attempt to address that, but indicates that it's a diminished state or federal policy or regulation. That's a broadly worded carve-out, but you could also add a more specific carve-out, or as may be required by state election law or regulation. That'd be one idea. Mr. Gordon, I don't know if we can talk about it if you'd like to bring it back.
All right, we'll bring that back then. We can go, because right now we're working on a website, and that on that issue, I'd like the committee to actually also send reference to us sending a letter out to the Board of Elections and IS in reference to how they're making out on the website for the Board of Elections.
I talked to Mr. Turco today. He hadn't heard back. He anticipated cooperation, but I then got an email that made it seem like he hadn't heard. I think he reached out. I don't think he heard back. I attempted to contact Mr. DeLeon, left him a message, and never heard back.
Okay, well, I'll give him time. Maybe he'll call you tomorrow. Or maybe not.
I'll hold my breath.
All right, then I guess I'll put that back in there. All right. The resolution 281 establishes a policy to prohibit the use of public funds to place the likeness of name or of elected officials on all promotional and informational signage.
I was going to request maybe a subcommittee to kind of go through it the same way we've done this with a couple. I think a lot of the resolutions we came up with really benefited from a subcommittee where we just take a couple of hours, go through it line by line, and all the cons or possibilities that made anybody uncomfortable. I know Legislator Nolan had a few. We could go through it, and at the end of a subcommittee meeting or two, we'd have a piece of legislation that we could actually vote on, up or down.
Do you have anybody who would volunteer?
I heard Kevin Roberts pipe up.
Otherwise...
Anybody want to volunteer to work on that?
Yeah. This depends on when the meetings are scheduled.
It would probably be the very first week of April.
Jim?
Well, depending on how your boss does. I'll volunteer.
All right. And then he'll come in to work with us. I'll coordinate with you a time we can do that.
Thanks,
Kim. All right, that sounds good.
Yeah, if I can make it, I'll make it.
Okay. Well, I'll put you on there. That way, it'd be three of us on the subcommittee, and we can act with two.
Sounds
all right. Alrighty, next one, the ethics law. What do we got? What do you got for us, Ken?
ICE had sent Jay a breakdown of the differences between what they have in Orange County and what changed from it. Nick had put together what he had changed from the Orange County to translating it to the Ulster County.
Is that in here?
Yep. Last page.
Is it in here?
Last page.
There was no email, right?
Or last page of the law.
Ah.
Oh, the law.
You know, we're not up against a deadline for a referendum yet, so, you know, if everyone wants to take a month and take a look at this and take a look at the law that we currently have, we have some time.
Is that all right with the members of the committee?
Yep.
Okay, then that's what we'll do.
Just one question, because what changed from Orange County to come to Ulster County is part of the information that at least I was hoping for. I was also looking for what changed
from ours to
ours.
Current. Okay.
Yeah, because you could have changed very little. Are they? I'm not sure they're the same universe, the same set. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could do it the other way as well.
Better, Bartels.
So I started to do detailed notes on this. Do you want to start to have the conversation today, or do you want to put it all for a month, and I'll circulate the notes, whichever way you want to do it.
Yeah, I think whatever you have, you know, if you could email me that.
Yeah, I can. I mean,
and what we'll do is, because
the sponsor wants us
to digest what he put in there. So
we don't have to have the same conversation three times. I think is where I'm coming from on it. If we're gonna, you know, once everybody has their comments together, maybe we can, and thoughts collected, we can go through it.
Okay.
All at once.
What is the deadline for, what do you think the deadline is?
July. I mean, well, we have to have an adopted law by, like, July, August.
Okay.
So, you know, I would hope to be able to pass a public hearing next month just in case anything comes up last minute and we've got to redo the process all over again. All
right. Sounds good.
So on that, because I have a lot of little detailed questions and some notes and concerns, I'll get them to you sooner than later.
Yeah,
so
that's fine.
You know, even if we have a dialogue.
Yeah, CC me on those.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you want
right
to call me or
CC
you want
me,
to
so
me to come in and we can talk about it, whatever.
I mean, I think it's generally good and a real improvement. I just, you know, there's some definition questions, some concerns I have. So
Alrighty, we've had the discussion, Resolution 15, which is setting a public hearing on the hotel-motel Airbnb tax. We had the many people from the hospitality industry were here. They're basically opposed to it, but when we take a look at what they're opposed to, it sometimes is, I'm not so sure. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, per our discussion, I believe we're going to refer this to Ways and Means, and so I guess...
Yes.
While I have additional comments at this time, I'll formally move that we refer this matter to Ways and Means, as which is what we discussed.
Everybody understands that we're going to refer it to Ways and Means, and then it's going to have to come back to us for laws and rules. Okay, I just want to make sure that that's on the table.
No,
everyone understands.
No, no, but just making sure that that was...
Yeah.
That's what we discussed, so I just figured I wanted to get that out of the way. And so, is there a second to that?
I'll second the motion to refer to Ways and Means.
Thank you.
Any discussion on the referral?
So, you know, one of the things that I want to just, and, you know, for those of us who are already there, I apologize for repeating myself, but, you know, the current system we have in place, you know, while it may be good, there are some hiccups, there are some flaws, or there are some things that we need to continue to sort of work through. So I don't want either the sponsor or anybody else who supports this legislation to think that somehow we don't recognize that what we're currently doing needs to be done better, or we need to find a way to kind of accommodate, I think, different users. And I don't want to go and belabor a point because we spent a long time on this last week, but, you know, I just want to make sure it's clear on the record.
Right, and I know there was some discussion last week talking about the idea that a number of comkeys are saying they didn't want it, wish they didn't do it. It doesn't seem that that is true at all.
We should find out about that.
I've not seen any of that.
Say that again. I didn't.
I've not seen anything where counties were saying they wish they didn't go in with the Airbnb.
Oh,
okay.
Mr. Chair, just to make sure for the record and for anybody else who wasn't here, there was a comment that was made by someone from I think the association there that
it was the New York State Hospitality Association.
Thank you. And so that the proposal. This Resolution 15, which is modeled after that Airbnb legislation, that these counties that did enter these agreements have now since said that they wish they hadn't. And I think that was one of the things, Mr. Chair, that you're supposed to go and follow up on, or someone.
Yeah,
someone
we had a discussion like in Sullivan County. They said, no, we're loving it. We collected money.
Big money.
Go ahead.
You know, it was mentioned a couple of years ago that we might be losing out on $200,000 a year in Sullivan County, which I believe, we'll have to double check, has less Airbnb residents than we have here in Ulster County. The treasurer over there sent us an email back that says she loves it. They're not thinking about redoing it. They're getting over $200,000 a year. And the system we have right now is basically to send letters to 2,000 people in Ulster County and ask them to send us a check. It is not the best way to do this, and that's why all these other counties.
All right, so all those in favor of the referral?
Aye.
Can I just ask one
question?
Against?
Yes, you go.
Oh, I'm not against it, but I'm for the referral. But in terms of in this packet, so this packet includes the attachment of the sample, I'm guessing, of Sullivan, of the voluntary collection agreement, but I don't see in the packet we still are looking at amending our hotel, motel law, which isn't. I don't see that here. Is that in there?
It's here.
That's the law.
It's here.
It's, I think, just prior to the Sullivan County example.
Oh, it's not in the digital packet.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. That's the 40-60 breakdown you're speaking about.
That's what I was talking about. I don't see it in the digital. So that you're going to go over that in Ways and Means as well. Because I know that was a big point of contention for the
inclusives.
Alrighty, we also now resolution public hearing on '93. That's the amending the term of office for members of the county legislature from 2 to 4 years.
Alrighty. I'll move it.
Anybody second it?
I'll second it.
Seconded. All right. Discussion. Nobody wishes.
Anybody? I was trying to wait for somebody to go first. You feel free.
No, I was just curious because I remember when this came up. Was it last year? Last year it came up, or even maybe the year before as well. There was a lot of discussions in laws and rules about how you execute you know, do you stagger the terms? How do you, has there been anything to address? And there was never really a consensus on what the best means of addressing that was.
I'd love to stagger the terms, but as of right now, no one's been able to find a way where you'd stagger the terms where you didn't have people representing, have the possibility of having elected officials represent people that didn't vote for them. Unfortunately.
I think that, let's say, the minority leader wanted to speak after, right?
Well, you go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you, please.
I was thinking.
I mean,
ahead,
you know.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no.
Someone
after you. All right, fine. I'll go then. I'm sponsoring this along with Legislator Petit. Originally the term limits that we passed were combined with the extension of the term from 2 years to 4 years. I still think the best way to have done it would have been to do them both together, but I was in the minority on that by a little bit. So. We're bringing this back forward as a standalone resolution. I think that we should give the voters the option to vote yes on this. I think that it's a positive thing for the people of Ulster County. I think that it's going to allow us more time to get important things done for the people of Ulster County, spend less time campaigning. I think that one thing I've said over and over again, there's a learning curve when it comes to being a legislator, and by the second year, when you're still learning about even the departments that report to your committee, I'm still learning things about, departments that have been reporting to committees I've served on, for 11 years. And
isn't that counter to your idea of term limits?
No. I don't believe that it is.
All right. I'm just curious.
He didn't say 13. He said 11.
I'm just curious.
That having been said, thank you, Dave, for the little jab. I appreciate that
once
in a while.
No, I'm just curious. I'm trying to, make it clear in my,
understand.
I had a full frontal lobotomy, and I had to, think.
I see that. Looks like a partial frontal lobotomy, but
yeah,
maybe I'm giving too much credit.
Partial. I had that after the last meeting.
but the last, the last thing I'll say is that I think that an extension of a term from 2 years to 4 years is the most effective and cheapest campaign finance reform that exists, because you're going to only spend half the amount of time running, which in theory means that you're going to spend half of the amount of money that you would spend on running.
Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, look, I understand, as the minority leader just said, ironically, I think we actually both sponsored this particular legislation in different forms last year. We did.
Yeah.
For my part, it was because it was to honor sort of the agreement of that we were going to bring both items up, because there were people who wanted them divided. One part moved forward, the other part did not, right? So, we're now sort of back at this again, which is fine. But, one of the, again, the concerns are still, still the same. I appreciate and understand everything you've just said, and there are virtues to this legislation. I will never dismiss that. But by the same token, we then do lose to a certain degree the ability, as democracy, to be able to go and change the most representative form of our government by going from 4 years to 2 years. And the second component, becomes this. No matter what scenario, as soon as you go to a four-year term, you're going to have issues on redistricting in some way, shape, or form, right? No matter what, you will encounter, either the full legislature in this case, because there isn't staggering, or even if there was staggered, regardless, you'd still have those issues, right? So I understand everything that you've gone and said. I'm not dismissing it, but I'm just here to go and say that at this point, I know from my own standpoint, I still believe in more elections and more democracy, not less. So.
You might want to slow down.
I'm dealing with the committee first.
No, I'm good right now.
All right. I do want to say something. I do not support 4-year terms. I think it's the 2-year terms are good enough. And I think we should be going back to the public every 2 years. And as actually Legislator Rodriguez pointed out, and meant, this is our most closely representation of the people are us. And we go back every 2 years to our people to see if they want us back in here for 4-year terms. For people that, and I've seen a number of legislators that come in here that really did very little, and that means you got them for 4 years. And there's nothing you can do about it. And I believe that, in other words, so I really find your argument really counter to what you were saying before about term limits. I do believe that people, that's one of the reasons I don't support term limits, is that I do believe people continue. If you go back to your public every 2 years and they would send you back here, they're sending you back here because they have trust in you. And I believe very wholeheartedly that you learn more. If you want to be a good legislator, you'll continue to learn. And I've been here for 26 years, and I'm still learning certain little things that I didn't realize. Little innuendo sometimes, just a phone number, the right kind of phone number that you got to have for somebody that calls you up when they have a problem. So, sure, are there people here that term limits might fit? Maybe I'm one of them. I don't know. But the reality is the public will make that term limit when they vote for you or vote against you. They're making the term limit. And the only reason I agree with term limits when it comes to an executive, because they amass power. Us as legislators do not amass power. But I do think we should be going back every 2 years. Yes.
I agree with the minority leader. I think that a 4-year term is smart from a lot of perspectives. I think that the learning curve happens. I've seen it with both seasoned legislators, but especially with new legislators. It takes a certain amount of time to get up to speed, to feel in your comfort zone, mm-hmm. and 2 years goes by really quickly. I've heard it argued that the Congress and our state assembly runs every 2 years, so why can't we? They have bigger districts. I think it's crazy that congressional candidates run every 2 years, and we know, on a national level, it's front and center that 2-year requirement is part of what makes Congress dysfunctional, because they're running from the minute they get in. I don't think that we have that problem here in terms of running from the minute we get in, but I think a 4-year cycle, even if we if we're all up at the same time, is totally fine. It's reasonable. Orange County has a 4-year term. I'm assuming that it went to the public some time ago, back in the 90s, I'm guessing, by my best research, but I don't know exactly what day, what year. But I support it. I think it's common sense. And I think, to your point, Dave, you know, we can't dictate either from within or without that legislators do their due diligence or do their homework or get up to speed. And sometimes the very legislators, and not anyone in this body currently, but you could point to someone and say, this legislator or that legislator just doesn't do the work or doesn't show up, and some of those people get reelected anyway. I mean, it's just the politics of their district. So I think 4 years allows us to build relationships, to build time, and to not be worried about reelection, which with a freshman you have several months at the beginning getting up to speed, and then potentially you have several months at the end running for office. That takes time away from the precious time that we have to do our work as part-time people. So I support.
Well, maybe the idea that you worried about running for election is a good thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I mean, that kind of, I was against this the last time it came around. I voted no for it. One of the things was I was one of the people of the philosophy that it should have been separate from term limits. But aside from that, I do have concerns with the prospect of all forms of county government being 4-year terms. I think 4 years is a long time in county government, in any government, and I think a lot can happen in those 4 years without the voters having a say, and I do agree we are the most representative form of government here. And I think that plays into Dave's last comments in a sense to where I do think the fact that the legislature is forced to go before the voters every 2 years while working in a system of, you know,
other officials in the county that do have four-year terms, it does hold our feet to the fire a little bit more, and also I do believe that it could prevent complacency on some important issues, especially when we are thinking about the fact that, you know, in 2 years we're going to have to go back to the voters, whereas something happens year one or year two, you know, you can have, you know, 3 years, 2 years for that to kind of fade away. And so, I mean, I'm willing to continue to have a discussion about this because I think it is an important discussion to have amongst ourselves. So I am willing to support it going to public hearing, continuing to have a debate and discussion amongst legislators, both inside the Laws and Rules Committee and just, you know, as caucuses and otherwise, to see how they feel now that this is being brought up without the concept of term limits being on the table as well with it. So I will support it to go to public hearing for now.
I'll give a counter argument to a couple of these things. One, we could talk about 3 years too, which is, I think, something that certain counties.
Green County does.
We make it eight years.
Hey, I said three. I didn't say eight. But
Green County.
Think about this. Think about a big environmental topic like plastic cutlery. You're going to take some hits. I mean, you're going to take some big hits. When we get elected, we take off January. February, we're just getting committees chosen. We probably kind of get the gears cranking around March. And when does the election cycle start? Basically, December, January. So we're in here for 9 months. We're running again, and we're worried about politics. We're worried about the politics of our hometown committees being happy with us, which sometimes get pressure from other areas. Maybe the executive that we're trying to keep in check, checks and balances, where they have a four-year term, and we're trying to keep a four-year powerful executive in check with our two-year term that we get about 9 months before we're running again. And if we put up anything controversial, it's going to be thrown right in our face when we're about to run. You give us another year or two, suddenly we're doing bigger things. We have time to get through. Maybe that plastic cutlery bill worked. Maybe it has its benefits. Maybe it takes a year before people are done being angry about it. We see the styrofoam ban isn't so bad now, and people are dealing with it. There's so many reasons, in my mind, for us to have longer terms, and a lot of it has to do with empowering, getting things done, not running continuously. I think longer terms with a cap is what we need on every level.
It sounds like you're, it gives you the ability to hide for a couple of years. Is that what you're saying to me?
Yeah, I'm on my way out the door, so
I'm speaking truth. When you talk about a four-year term, you know, what you're basically saying is it gives you the ability to hide for a year. If you, you know, if you put something out, you can recover by if you put out something controversial. Well,
I do hide.
You got to stand up for what you believe in.
That's
the way I look at it.
I'm a real hider, but
I didn't say you were doing that. I'm just saying exactly.
I think we get a lot more. I'm just telling you. I think we get a lot more done. And I like Ken. I would have liked to see it in the same bill. I know it was a Siamese mutant or something on the same referendum. I didn't think so. I thought it made sense, and I think another county did it, but it's done now. But I do think that I agree with Congress. I don't think using Congress or the Assembly as an example. I think the opposite. I think we'd be better off before. You'd have good legislators, empowered, working on things that are a little more long term, not running endless campaigns. And yeah, you'd be stuck with, you know what, you can get stuck with some pretty ridiculous legislators 2 years at a time as well, and they come back and back and back.
But they got to come back every 2 years.
Thanks. You know, this is something I've supported for a very long time, and like Legislator Maloney has said, and Chairman Bartels has said, you know, I was a undergraduate session assistant intern in the state Senate when I was 19 years old, and one of the things that we had to do was sponsor our own, you know, Senate bill, and most of the people did, you know, a policy issue or something that was important to their hearts, and I did a concurrent resolution to the Senate Assembly to increase the term of a state senator from 2 years to 6 years. I'm in favor of longer terms for people in a legislative role. Not having to run for election and not having, I'm sorry, but, you know, with all due respect to a couple of people who have spoke, not having to run for election every 2 years doesn't mean that you're not going back to the voters every 2 years, because personally, I go back to my voters every year. I'm out meeting with them and discussing important things with them and asking them questions about what about how I'm going to take votes up here in Kingston. You know, a good representative of the people is going to do that every year, all year. You know, to your point, Legislator Donald, said something that you said earlier. You know, you've seen legislators that you wouldn't want here for a 4-year term, you know, because they didn't do much. I've seen legislators that have been here for 15 years that don't do very much. You know, just because they don't do very much doesn't mean the people aren't going to send them back to not do much again. That's been my experience.
But they'd have to do it twice as much.
So they're...
So they have to do nothing twice as much.
I've felt that 2 years made sense because of going back to the voters and getting that input. I am being persuaded mainly by people that I talk with who are surprised that I'm back, you know, campaigning again. It seems, you know, this year, of course, it seems even sooner. But they're still surprised, and that they would support a longer term. So Vicky Favela suggested 3 years, and Legislator Maloney just brought it up. Since a 4-year term does not get us off the cycle of reapportionment, maybe we should think about, and 4 years has its proponents and 2 years has its proponents, maybe we should look at 3 years and maybe delay the reapportionment so that it's on lines up with the 3-year terms. I make that as a serious compromise suggestion, and then, you know, happy to go vote on this, which seems to be an issue about which good reasonable people can disagree.
I mean, I would probably support a 3-year. I can't support a 4-year. I mean, 3 years does make it. It's sort of like it creates a. I think 4 years is too long. I really think 3 is too long, but I certainly understand the argument a little more for the 3, because they're still going back, and it cuts back on some. And like you pointed out, this year it's really ends up accenting it because we had to jump into this early term, and we're going to have that every from now on. So it kind of like does change the feel of it a little bit, because typically. Until you start getting signatures, you don't even think about it, and then you really don't think about it until you start getting a couple months before election, where you start really going out and pounding the pavement, knocking on doors. But with this new scheduling, it does make it a tad bit different. Yeah.
I mean, that may just then be worth going to Greene County, then, just per your comment, as to how they handle reapportionment, because in each instance, you know, we're talking about...
What is Greene County's term?
They're on a 3-year.
They're on a 3-year cycle.
They're on 3-year.
They're on 3 years. So, you know, it may behoove us to kind of just go and look at that at least before we, you know, proceed, so...
I understand where everyone's coming from with the 3 versus 4 years. The concern that I've always had over a 3-year term is that, with a 2-year term or a 4-year term, you're consistently staying with the local elections. So you're going to be campaigning solely on local issues. You're going to be campaigning with your town councils. You're going to be campaigning with your county officials. If you do 3 years, conceivably, every 12 years, you're going to submit the entire legislature to the whims of a national campaign. And when voters are out at the polls, more based on national issues than issues that we have control over, local issues here. That's always been my concern. Every 6 years, you're gonna line up with the gubernatorial election, which I think is a little less, you know, cumbersome or confusing to the voters based on what they're actually there voting on. That's, you know, just been my opinion over the years, is that, you know, you don't want to line local elections up with a presidential election.
A counter proposal would be, if going to every 4 years is a form of campaign finance reform, could we actually also do campaign finance reform if we're going to 4 years?
I'm in favor of campaign finance reform without public financing.
The public financing portion, which is required in order to make a campaign finance law legal.
I'm willing to sign on to a public financing option, provided that it's a voluntary donation and not compulsory taxation.
All right, well, let's get into that one at this point. Any other, anything else on this particular resolution? Does,
shall we set a public hearing, or do you want to wait a month and discuss this other options more? It's up to everybody at the table.
The term, if you guys, if we are going to talk about the terms, I mean, that's a substantive change.
Yes.
So, are we going to talk about the terms?
Well, when would be the fourth? So we would line up the exact same time with the county executive.
I don't have
we line up the
that.
Other way? Do we line up on the other off years?
With the controller.
It's a good question.
Well, which one did you want? Which one are you calling for?
Comptroller?
Line up under the
can you under prefer the to have the executive line up under the halfway through, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, for all legislators.
Be that as it may.
No, that I think that's what you should
I mean, if it was to end up being 4 years, the public was went all the way and became 4 years, I think logically I would support it being lined up with the comptroller's election over the executive's election just mm-hmm. because of how, in terms of policy and all that. I think it makes more sense.
So that you'd have to wait till 2025.
No, 2023.
No,
2021.
Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, I believe that's what.
Yeah.
That's what it says in this one, I think.
Which also then places you though at the same time. That's you know reapportionment.
Yep.
Would. Had theoretically or could have
theoretically happened depending on when the census information data comes.
Exactly. And also the ability of a commission to actually come to, you know, an actual conclusion.
It's not gonna be that it's not gonna be as hard this time as it was last time.
I thought we sorted out the 20.
Yeah, but you know, Ken, you remember.
Well, yeah, but we were dropping 10 seats and we were going to single member districts. How much can the population conceivably change in all of these districts in 10 years?
And how much how much back and forth can kind of go on during the course of a reapportionment commission.
Well, it depends on how political.
All right. We're not having let's get back into this. Do you want, what's your flavor here of the committee? Do they want to move on this, or you want to wait a month and have a discussion?
If there's a decent chance that we're going to end up having a 3-year debate, then I think we should probably hold off. If we're going to go with four, then we should go to public hearing.
I mean, I'm willing to postpone with the understanding I it's going to be hard to convince me to go to a 3-year term. I'd rather stay at 2 years than, you know, 2 years or 4 years than go to 3 years for the reasons I've already stated.
Legislative Bartell.
I mean, I think you bring up really good concerns about the 3 years. Can we, if we're holding, can we, in the interim, just run those dates out so people could see what it actually means?
Yeah, that's not hard to do. I'll take care of it.
Yeah, well, we can take care of that, right?
I'll take care of it.
You'll take care of it, all right.
Or, hold on. Jay will take care of it. Jay will figure it out. anybody who's been here as an observer of this committee, that gets said once a meeting, at least.
And maybe in the interim, the caucuses can have a conversation about it, just to feedback to this committee about, where everybody's at.
With those things being said, and I'll provide the, you know, what, like, 12 years worth of, three-year terms out.
Why would you not want to wind up the executive?
I just think because in terms of the voters, how closely the executive and the legislature work together in terms of, you know, implementing policy, that then at least they have, if there's a decision of something they don't like, at least there's a 2-year, they're not stuck with the same people that did something this like catastrophic for 4 years.
I'm not quite following that, but
I think another argument for not lining up is to have a wholesale. I mean, you provide for at least some measure of continuity if one
That's
day in
true.
The office. If you have the chance of in a wholesale, imagine if the president of the United States was cleared with a whole change of the both houses all at the same time.
They actually talked about that. That's part of why they did it the way they did.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think the continuity is the real one. It makes sense not to be long.
Well, you know, as they do in Congress, what happens is every 2 years when the Congress comes up, it gives a indication of whether they're supporting what the president's doing. That's why they elect him every 2 years. And that's sort of like, that's not one of the reasons, but it's one of the indicators of what's, you know, happening by the people. But all right, well, we'll look at that three-year term thing, and then we'll...
I move we postpone it for a month.
Time. All right, I'll second that. All those in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Okay. All right, amending the rules of order to modify the resolution deadline.
I'll move.
Second.
And let me explain to you also, in there's a red line version because we did make changes that we were talking about the idea of a resolution for late resolutions that allow the committee of jurisdiction, if they have not yet met yet, then they would consider it as a late. And it would be done with them. If they have met, then it would go the same way as it does now with laws and rules. So that's basically what that spells out, the red line. Alrighty, on this resolution, moved in by Rodriguez and seconded by Hebner.
Right. It's the other way around, but that's okay.
What's that?
It was the other way around.
Okay.
I'll defer to the majority leader.
Well, close enough, and we'll flip that way.
Thanks. I don't think we need to relitigate this whole thing because
we're not going to.
You know, at this time, I'll make a motion that we amend the resolution where it reads 12 days to read 7 days.
Which would mean it
Monday.
Monday. Okay.
At noon.
12 days, 7 days. All right. Do I have anybody seconding that? Crickets.
I'll second it for discussion.
Thanks, Kevin. All right, it's seconded.
Generous.
All right, go ahead. You want to put it up? We'll let you talk. Very quick.
Though. No. I don't need to talk. We talked about this last time. I put this on the table last time as a piece of discussion. There's no need to relitigate it. I have a feeling I know where the votes are going to go.
Go ahead.
All I'm saying is that I think this supports all of us, whether people take the time and use it effectively or not. I think it supports the body, and I would hope that whether you think it's useful or not, that we would support the efforts of our fellow legislators. So thank you for considering it.
All right, so on the amendment, those in favor of the amendment? All those opposed? Amendment fails. All righty. Any other amendments or anything that we want to discuss on this?
Dave, I'll be in favor of this resolution with the option of making changes because this is a two-month reading. So we can hear if we have any major complaints from the executive's office.
Okay. All right. So on the resolution?
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Carried. All right, so these were resolution. There's two resolutions here on campaign finance reform.
There was supposed to be a subcommittee on that, wasn't there?
Well, no, we were going to actually.
Well, that was last week, though, when we discussed it. So.
Oh.
Yeah, we just discussed it.
They've all blended together, but it really was like Wednesday. So
well, we've met a lot of times in this committee this month, so.
Sure, no. And we discussed also both resolutions a great deal, so I mean, don't get me wrong, I get it, but, you know, I think we actually did just sort of officially move in this direction, officially, on Wednesday, so that's less than a week ago.
Okay.
As I recall it, you both agreed to pull the resolutions from consideration, even though you didn't act on it last time, and then we talked about either getting a subcommittee or some group together to discuss this. I don't know if you want to do it as a subcommittee of this committee, or if you want to do it as a separate committee. I know that in our caucus we talked about Jonathan, in your absence, taking the helm of this, and I think it would be good to, if we could do it in a bipartisan manner, if we're interested in having bipartisan discussion on the table.
I think that a joint committee of this committee and Ways and Means might not be out of line. You know, because one of the biggest concerns that comes out of my caucus is the financing. And you know, there's, I don't think any of us are against campaign finance reform per se, especially on the local level. You know, but it's the public financing when you've got people who are losing their homes every year to tax foreclosure, and now we're going to take some of that tax money and spend it on political campaigns. I think that there's a lot of pause that our caucus takes in that.
I think that's fair. I worry about doing a full joint committee of the two committees, because I think as you get so many people to the table, it makes it harder. What I'd love to see is some consensus on what draft is going to be brought to that committee, or what kind of draft is going to be brought to that committee, and then that committee work out the details, because obviously it's going to have to go to the body as a whole. I mean, I'm open to it, but I'm curious what everybody here and the two sponsors of the existing legislation think about, you know, bringing seven more people to the table.
I understand that. I'm willing to come to the table. I suffered through the last subcommittee we had on this that created one of the ones I think that we're talking about now. So
I mean,
I could suffer through another one.
Maybe do it either as an ad hoc committee. Maybe Ken, with you and Jonathan, leading the charge with who's ever interested in working off of one of these, you know, working off of this draft, these drafts.
I think 361 was the one that with the subcommittee.
Say that again.
I believe the subcommittee put out 361. That was the work on the subcommittee, yes.
So the I would call that the Mike Hine version of this law, and the mine was submitted as the Kathy Nolan version of it. So I would like to work. Yeah, well, the version that the Laws and Rules Subcommittee worked on is essentially the Mike Hine version. It came from the administrative office. And was brought
the first version that Mike had suggested.
Oh, I thought Mike had more input on the other one.
Actually, but that's also not accurate.
Mike introduced
the
first
one. It's not really accurate, but no. Yeah. But that's okay. I'm used to it.
I would very much prefer that be an ad hoc committee. I think that Legislator Heppner and Legislator Ronk are good choices to head that up. And I would ask them to pass both versions in front of them, and they can work from whichever one they think is going to require the least amendment. I'll stop.
Thanks, Rodriguez.
Thank you. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that the other version had a lot of other changes that all came down the pike, as Legislator Lauren was the original sponsor of it. But yes, that version was then changed. Anyway, regardless, there's been a lot of changes to all this legislation. I want to echo Legislator Nolan, though, in that obviously, you know, Majority Leader Heppner was in fact actually the sole remaining co-sponsor of the old version, whoever we want to go and assign it to, but that's that, you know, obviously he's also serving on this committee, and as Majority Leader, it makes a lot of sense to think at that point if Legislator Heppner was involved. I, of course, will, I offer to serve on any subcommittee that gets created if needed, so...
I also want to point out, I mean, not that everybody knows this, but you have legislators Heppner and Rahm.
We're already starting the committee.
But, I mean, they successfully navigated the human rights legislation. I realize that was a bigger commission as well, but I think, you know, you've worked together before, you work well together, so just, sorry.
He's one of my favorites.
To put you on the spot with it, but it makes sense that if the two of you, and then if it's in the hands of the two of you, as Legislator Nolan said, if you're looking at both of them, however you want to work through it. I know I have a lot of written notes that I hadn't provided to anyone, which I'll forward to you, and I'll attempt to be at as many meetings as I can, but you solicit everybody's input, and whoever shows up at the table shows up at the table. That's really where
all right, so what I'm going to do, because in order to do it in a manner that we can actually do it right now, is I can create a subcommittee of laws and rules made up of Rodriguez and minority leader and a majority leader. Because and then anybody else that wishes to go there and participate, they may participate.
So I guess I'm not being, I haven't been clear enough. I would make it a condition of my withdrawal.
Well, you made it clear enough. Then we'll vote on yours now.
Well, you just interrupted me. Without hearing what I said, mischaracterized what I was going to say, and now you're trying to dismiss me.
I'm
here as the sponsor of this resolution
in
front of your committee. Can we try to resolve this in a way that we are both happy with?
No, I don't think we can at this point.
Dave.
I would like the chair of the legislature to set up this committee, not you, who are an involved party.
I'm not going to be in it.
I don't want you to have the control that you exerted last year.
You're not on this committee, and you're not speaking any longer, all right?
I am the sponsor of one of the resolutions you're discussing.
You're cut off.
Dave.
I think that's out of order.
She comes to these committee meetings and she talks more than the members do. And I mean, it's getting a little old.
This is
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to, at this point, through the chair to Legislator Nolan, if you would. Actually, please inform me as to the remainder of that statement that you were going to make, although I will tease you as I do Dennis, brevity is the soul of wit. But that said, though, please finish your statement.
If we don't editorialize each other, it's my complaint is that I had meetings last year on the law that I submitted, which were not attended by the Chair of Laws and Rules. Then the Chair of Laws and Rules submitted a new version, almost identical in language, different in some parts, and then held his own series of committee meetings that I also had to attend in order to know what was happening with the legislation that I had submitted that was now being resubmitted in a different form. I felt that that was unjust. I suffered through it, mostly in quiet. I don't want to have that situation again in which two competing versions of legislation are submitted and the chair of a committee is the sponsor of one of the versions. It just is basically putting more control. The meetings are set up whenever the chair would like, or he can influence his chairs to do that. I'm missing another committee meeting tonight because this is on this agenda, and this meeting was scheduled at this time by the chair. I don't feel like I have any real recourse with a person who deals with me this way. I think that it's I was asked to be brief.
I also suffered through those meetings, by the way, Slater Nolan. Thank you for being there. And also the idea that this is a new resolution. This resolution was put in the year before you were even here, and we were working on that resolution prior to that. So the resolution that came out, you decided to throw one in, and then it became a competing resolution. And then you have refused repeatedly to turn around and say, let's pull them both and let somebody else run off. I'm not going to be on the committee. Those two people are going to be on the committee, and Legislator Rodriguez would be on the committee.
And I'm going to echo and go and say, I mean, to a certain degree,
and they will make
that
decision on when.
And in that vein, I think we do have some faith in the majority leader and the minority leader in terms of, from a process standpoint. Do you agree with that?
That is an appointment from the chair, so that I have people I can go to if I have a concern and feel like I'm fairly heard, I'm very happy to withdraw mine at the same time as the other one is withdrawn. I just like it to be a level playing field, not one that's still under legislative guidance.
Then we'll vote on yours now, then.
But why don't you just postpone both?
I'm very happy to postpone.
So I have total confidence in the majority leader and the minority leader to work together to facilitate a fair process. And that's what's being proposed here. I mean, I think it's semantics. No matter who makes the appointment, we're agreeing that the two of you are going to facilitate this discussion moving forward. And as however you want to work it out, I'm fine with that. I mean, if I don't think you necessarily have to make it a subcommittee with Legislator Rodriguez's prescribed precipitation, but I don't think it hurts it to have Legislator Rodriguez, although it becomes a majority of the committee.
Well, it's 2-1, yeah, it's a subcommittee.
I just have a quick question that maybe the sponsors could help me out with. Is does any one of these pieces of legislation, if there's an elected official that does not opt in to take the public funds, do any of the regulations that we are putting in these bills apply to those elected officials if they don't opt in?
Yes.
And which ones do, which ones don't? If you give me a quick 30-second basic.
It's mostly the reporting requirements.
But as far as the are required by them.
Yes.
But as far as limiting donations, none of those things are binding unless
all
you're opting.
Yeah.
Are binding. They would not be able to still get, even if they're not opting in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The limits. Yeah.
Donation limits, yes. Spending limits.
No.
All right, anyway, we have the subcommittee that was done, and anybody may attend if they wish to. Yes.
Mr. Chair, so, I mean, just to sort of cut the Gordian knot, so to speak, no offense to Dave Gordon, but at this point, then, we should probably then go and refer Resolution 212 and 361 at that point, then, to the subcommittee. I don't think it makes any sense to withdraw them at that point. We should pretty much have the subcommittee being able just to look at both pieces of legislation and figure out which of those harmonize it, figure out which pieces sort of work best together, and or add on any new pieces as needed.
It makes no difference to me one way or the other. We can.
I mean, you're going
to
look at.
You're
going to look at both versions anyway.
I'm willing to vote on them. Whatever you want to do. I mean, my mindset is there's a subcommittee that everybody more or less thought would work out.
I don't think there's any procedural reason for us to refer something to a subcommittee because the subcommittee doesn't have any force or effect. There's nothing binding about it. I think that the cleanest way to do this would be to just postpone them here and then have the subcommittee discuss them. As I think, you know, Legislator Heppner and I were just you know talking very you know in a very preliminary way over here about it, and I'm not sure that starting with any of them as the one to start with is necessarily the way to go.
I agree.
Exactly. You know, really, I think that we should give them both equal footing and then discuss positives and negatives and even some other ideas that may come forward.
Yes, so, I mean, to a certain degree, this is semantics. I'll agree if you want to postpone. Obviously, both are going to be there. We actually have referred things to subcommittees in the past, but it doesn't matter at this point. I will modify my motion to be a postponement rather than
we have. But technically, the minority leader is correct. You don't necessarily refer to a subcommittee because they can't act. They can't actually vote on it.
And the majority leader and I think are in agreement that in this case it might be best to just leave them both in the committee and then be able to have an open discussion on both of them.
So, sure. In that case, then, I will modify that to be a motion to postpone Resolution 212 and Resolution 361.
It's all business.
Second. All right. Oh, they had to be second.
Well, there was a favor's objection. All right, we have another resolution, the electrical contracting. Where are we at with that?
I have, again, I'm giving time to the Office of the Mr. Chair, by the way, that was a unanimous vote of the whole committee? Yes, all right. All right, so on 329, I think Mr. Ryder was actually here at our last meeting as well as the meeting before that. I actually, via our deputy clerk, had actually sent off a communication to him just requesting again and reiterating the request that was made last year, which was to give us the information how the administration would best sort of facilitate this or see this, not necessarily weighing in whether they support it or are against it, but just basically from a structural standpoint, how would they want to go and administer this program. I haven't gotten that yet, but we've just reiterated the request this past month, so at this time I will suggest postponing it, and in fact I will move to postpone it.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Heppner. All those in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No? Postponed. Well, we successfully postponed our way through.
Hold on.
Any other...
I believe, actually, since the postponements on the resolution...
I didn't recognize you.
I thought you did.
No, I didn't recognize you. We were...
It's a point of order. I believe that.
Well, you don't know. You're not on the committee. You can't have a point of order.
If you want to write it down, Kathy, I'll make the point of order for you. If this is gonna, if this is gonna get
out, you know, just so you just start talking without anybody's permission. Go ahead.
May I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. So I believe that the resolution that I submitted on campaign finance reform has been postponed over my objection 3 times. And so if you're trying to postpone it again to handle it within this committee, then I think it has to have a vote and go to the floor.
All right, we'll call for a vote.
No, actually.
All those in favor?
Point of order. Point of order, Mr. Chair. The point of order is that
Frank
you have previously consented to postponement, and Mr. Minority Leader, if you wish to please either join in or to clarify further, once you have sort of given consent, I thought that at that point doesn't the clocks be good, because we've been through this before.
It doesn't say 90 consecutive days. Right. The rules say 90.
So.
All right. Yes.
So it's interesting that this should come up right now because I just did my rules markup, which I'll submit to you since I realize it's not on the. But it does say 90 consecutive days. It was one of my suggested changes that it's 90 days, and on the 91st day. But right now it definitely says 90 consecutive days, which I absolutely do not think is fair. But that's what the rules say.
Didn't I already have 90 consecutive days?
I have no idea what the issue is. It's a problem.
All right, well, then we'll call a vote on it, then, if you want to have a vote.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
More resolution.
All those opposed?
So what, can someone look at what the record of the postponement is?
90 consecutive days, July 16,
which of them were consented to?
August 13, and September. August, and September without consent. Then consented, we started writing it on here because of laws and rules.
So it was consented at what point?
At what point was it consented?
The first time it was consented, that was June 18.
Uh-huh.
And then.
Without
October,
consent, without
November,
consent,
December,
without consent,
February.
And then she started to postpone with consent. Because we're moving in a direction.
The clock then restarts.
That's
but it
not
was 90 consecutive days.
Yeah, where does it say?
July, August, starts. September. It was 90. It was in committee 90 consecutive days back then.
So we'll vote on it.
So at any time.
I don't have a problem with voting.
Why don't we have a discussion on how we can
consensus of how to do this? Then yeah, I mean this makes no sense to me that.
She's the one to ask him for the vote.
Guys,
I mean, are you saying?
I know, but it makes no sense.
Can I ask? The legislator, what the problem is? We're talking about. It seems like you're consenting to the minority and majority leader leading this discussion.
Yes.
So isn't it semantical that it's a technical subcommittee of this?
The subcommittee then reports back to laws and rules, which is chaired by the sponsor of one of the competing legislation. So I feel like it would be more equitable and less charged if the committee reported back to somebody else, like the chair. I recognize that laws and rules will eventually look at this, and so I have to deal with that, but I'd rather do that at a point where we've stepped away from, you know, this. I mean, I've been criticized tonight for speaking too much after I was not recognized to speak until everybody on the committee had gone through 3 or 4 times. So the chair has used that, and that's fine. I didn't complain. But then when I do bring up something, then
I'm not
charged with having taken up too much time of the committee. It's not a fair setting. And if this committee is coming back and even discussing it, then I'm going to be in this setting all the time.
Oh God.
So it's just uncomfortable.
Oh, God almighty.
But Chairman Barton, you can may
the
I?
The point is, wait, no. I didn't call on you yet. The point is, you are not on the committee, and I do allow people to speak, but the committee takes preference. And then they always take preference. That's the way the committee system works, whether you like that or not. And I allow you to speak. In fact, the other night you spoke more than anybody other than Legislator Rock. Going back for the minutes.
Winner.
Okay. Well, I'd like to get back to the issue. Yeah.
So I didn't stop you from speaking.
Let's vote on the issue.
Right now, she wishes for a vote. I'm calling for the vote.
we already postponed it.
No one's you didn't postpone it because she said you're she's not allowing you to postpone. Yes.
On the resolution?
Yes, on the resolution.
So, Chairman Bartels, you have the ability to create a task force. So you could in essence, on this resolution, that speaking on the resolution, you could in essence appoint majority leader and minority leader to a task force to look at this law and the other law, and
I'm
then
to
everybody's
what
concerns would be allayed.
Slap a gavel and say I've created a task force.
Essentially,
actually, yeah. I mean, you actually.
I think you wave a magic wand.
Well,
but
you do that under my protest. I can tell you that now.
So.
Let's vote on the resolution. She wants a vote on the resolution. Let's have a vote on it.
I feel like there must be a way to reach a consensus, not under your protest and not under your protest. The problem is that we have the two competing sponsors who are each protesting to opposing means of dealing with this, which are the identical same means of dealing with this. It just is a matter of who's calling it. Can't we just reach a consensus in here? We're all
not that I'm aware of.
Roberts?
I think that the
but I don't think we're going to vote yes on the other one.
No, that's not if we vote on the resolution tonight, they're still going to cherry pick from that if they see anything, you know, that they want. So, I mean, Legislator Nolan wants a vote. Let's vote on it. Move on. Committee's
are those in favor?
Hold on.
Yes.
I mean, through the chair. To the chair of the legislature. I mean, you know, this is a matter in which, I mean, look, at any point, any legislation dealing with a local law has to come through laws and rules. So even if a task force was created, right, to kind of go and address the issues, yes, right, and ultimately it would need to be whatever unified bill that collectively whoever, sort of whatever grouping of people sort of comes up with, is still going to end up back in this committee, you know, regardless. And so I'm sort of imploring both the chair, who I have a great deal of fondness for, and to Lisa Nolan, who I have a great deal of fondness for, to go and try to at least, I get the mutual frustrations. I'm not here to go and understand it completely, but I'm just saying I've been in contentious situations myself with individual legislators over the years. But in terms of where we were, in essence, 10 minutes ago or 15 minutes ago, I've now lost track of time, I apologize, but, you know, where we were going to be moving this forward to a different venue, at least temporarily, just to go and discuss the issues, just to be able to kind of get to, again, what is the public good here, right? You know, getting to an actually trying to get to a unified bill. I mean, that's our goal. I hope that is all of our goal. And so, I mean, in terms of the process that was set up, I don't have a dog in the fight as to what process we end up using, right? At a certain point, it should either ultimately come through this committee and or just to the floor of the legislature, and I think that's where our end game is. How we get there, don't really care. And I'm just kind of just asking at this point if we can all take a deep breath and take a step back.
So if there could be complete independence of the subcommittee and it not report back to laws and rules until there's a consensus document for laws and rules to look at, I'm not trying to create a problem here. I just do not feel that I get a fair hearing at this table. And so I'd like to not have to deal with that until we're dealing with a document that has some consensus in the body.
That's what the subcommittee would do.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I can tell you that I have full confidence, again, in the majority and minority leaders, that's what they would effectuate. They're not, I mean, they're as whether they're called a subcommittee or a task force, they are going to be leading the discussion and working through the details, and that's under their joint charge. So I have full confidence, and I think that I believe that you do too in them.
I understand.
I understand your other concerns, but I do feel like we're arguing semantics because they're not going to send something back before they've worked through. We have the evidence of their previous work that they're going to work through these issues.
And you'll be chairing it. You'll be chairing the committee. That's my position as the chairman of this committee. I created a subcommittee. He's going to be chairing it.
We created the subcommittee.
I would just
now I think you see.
But I would just like to say,
that I mean, I'm going to speak on behalf of Minority Leader Rock.
Thank you.
And say that.
Can you be more brief?
That just from my, we both have served on past versions of subcommittees on this. We both worked on a task force before. Whether what form it is, whether through this committee or through the chair, I'm confident.
Executive fiat.
I'm confident in our ability to independently execute this. Because trust me, there's way bigger issues that we're going to have to overcome with this than in terms of actual policy than, and you know, about who, whether it's the chair of the legislature, the chair of the committee, who appoints it. I speak very confidently in our ability to do that. I mean, we sat with each other at 7 in the morning on Thursdays. And trust me, I would have loved to just stop doing that. But we persisted, we kept going and kept going.
That was my way of getting everyone to work together, because you don't want to be at too many of those meetings.
Yeah, but...
a lot of coffee.
But, yeah. So I do, you know, and obviously we can't speak much further to it, because this is kind of new. I do give you that promise, that it wouldn't make a difference either way.
So with the pledge of the committee to recognize the ability of the chair here to disenfranchise members of the legislature, and with a request to the chair that he allow this subcommittee to determine their own chair, I would be willing to withdraw my request for a vote.
No, I won't.
All right, then I'll do it anyway. I'll withdraw my request.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's you guys will, whenever you decide when you're going to meet.
Yeah.
Well, there's no more you guys.
We're running a meeting here.
We'll decide. Yeah, we'll reach out to the legislature as a whole with a tentative date.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, very good. I don't know if I'll be able to stomach
May the day never
come. Go ahead.
Thursdays.
Before hashtag that, does anybody want to bring up campaign finance again?
Well, actually, now that you mentioned it.
Anyway, Dave.
Motion we adjourn. Oh, sorry.
I got two last things. One is a potential time change, and the second one is the discussion we had about the county executive in the election coming up, change in the charter.
Which one was that? What do you mean?
So changing the charter for the special election. Election.
As to when
those
elections
are going
to happen.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, there were, I think Ragucci was supposed to start with, Dave, did you talk to Ragucci yet about that, on changing the charter thing?
No, I'm going
to
see him tomorrow. Well, say, we just had a...
Yeah, we had a quick conversation. We had a conversation Wednesday, so both you and Chris can take a look at it, maybe.
Yeah, we did. We sent out an initial memo to Chris and Dave, and... We'll have to get some language together.
Yeah, we got to look at the language we want to attempt to make it so it's the next legislative cycle. I think everybody kind of agreed with that. You know, we sort of had a consensus with that concept. But we're not sure exactly, but so we got to get the starting language on that so we can work our way through it. Yes, Legislator Bartels.
Are you also, the attorneys, are you also looking at the vacancy requirements in the legislature? And I think you should also look at the comptroller. The comptroller seemed the more straightforward, but I mean, just to be clear, rather than putting something back and forth,
yeah,
while we're looking at vacancy.
Yeah, that was part of the idea when we first took a look at that. All right, so we had the three of them. Right now, the county executive was the one that jumped out at us, of course, because of the circumstances.
Just one thing, just to the attorneys. I think this might have come up last time in passing, but one of the concerns is, how do we craft this so it goes to the next general election, even if the vacancy occurs after the filing of petitions, which would then, you know, eliminate the primary as the opportunity. In the state legislature, the governor usually has the ability to call a special election, and this governor in particular has called several special elections for Election Day. So rather than go through the regular petition and primary process, we might want to add some language if the vacancy occurs after the filing of designating petitions, you know, insert person here or body here may hold a special election.
Yeah, I think that's critical.
Yeah, because what we wanted to do, I think the main thing was we didn't want them to serve for more than like a year in it, because otherwise they could serve over a year and a half without a...
At this point, they could serve from after the first week in April all the way until next year.
Yes.
No, and I think just to, you know, through the chair to the minority leader, I think what we discussed was... I thought for some reason we discussed it's from the primary date, because before the primary date, the committee to fill vacancies still exists, or it can still be utilized.
But there's no committee to fill vacancies if you haven't filed petitions.
Okay, understood, but I'm just saying, but just in terms of timeline, I thought because we went through that part as well, so just make sure we keep that in...
Mr. Gordon had brought up the somebody brought up the possibility of a special primary, which I don't believe that we have authority to do.
Hypothetically, but I don't think we're interested. I mean, I don't think that's our
the cleanest way to handle it would be a special, you know, after petitions, a special election, because... I understand your point about the committee to fill vacancies, but...
You still have a process.
But there isn't one unless there's petitions filed with the committee to fill vacancies. Actually, interestingly enough, in election law, you can have a petition with no committee to fill vacancies. Sure. It's not a fatal flaw. It just means that if there's a vacancy, there's no way to fill it.
To fill it, exactly.
So, absent a committee to fill vacancies on a petition, there is no committee to fill vacancies.
And absent a petition.
There's no committee to fill vacancies.
Right,
so.
Right.
So that's the little conundrum that we have, is that one little... That time frame.
Well, and the problem.
If we had the old way, it wouldn't have been a problem, because then could not have served for more than about a little more than a year.
Well, yeah, and quite frankly, you know, the accelerated primary process that's been brought to us generously by the state legislature this year has caused this to be even murkier, because they're. Petitions are filed so much earlier that a vacancy could occur at this point after, you know, less than 4 full months, and we could be outside the petition process.
So anyway, to answer Legislator Roberts' question is, yeah, we're working
on it.
Thank you.
Okay.
And also, this meeting of the Laws and Rules, it was requesting a time change, which... we normally have used to meet at 6:30 most of the time, and particularly sometimes we met earlier in the winter months, but in the summer months, you know, starting out later in when the...
Golf months.
Well, actually, for his work months, because he works until 6:30 a lot of times.
I'm fine.
But anyway, so...
I'm fine with later.
Move it out to 6:30 and be fine?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll be moving it out to 6:30. All right.
Move your turn. Oh, sorry, is that too rushed?
No.
I'll second it.
All those in favor of the chairman?
Manner.